Jimmy, this is Tony Vitello. I've been so fortunate enough to get to know you over the few years. I have a lot of respect for not only how talented you are at your craft, but how you go about it. The one thing I do want to be critical of is the job that you do this weekend, because the pressure is on for you to help the Vols beat the LSU Tigers. Being as that, it is your last weekend. I feel it's good karma that you're a part of things, but again, it's all on your hands. We'll see you win or loss after the game.
Hour number three of Sports Talk begins. I'm John Wilkerson, Jimmy Hyams, and the program at Fieldhouse Social today, right there, University Commons, certainly one of our favorite places, simply for the fact that we've had the pleasure of doing so many, if not, the vast majority of our game day, all day shows at Fieldhouse Social. And so we love that as our game day home. And there are so many other reasons for you to, if you're just wanting to take in all the action, they've got a TV screen the size of a three-point shot. But that's where the show is today as we turn our attention this hour to our good friend Brent Hubbs of AllQuest.com as he joins us for his weekly visit. And that's brought to you by Diversified Enclosures and Screen. From design to installation, the team at Diversified has you covered. View their portfolio online at sunandscreen.com. Brent Hubbs, how are you?
I'm doing great. Hope you guys are doing well. John, hope the weather's treating you all right in Baton Rouge. And you're ready for the hostile environment you're getting ready to walk into tonight, because that one's going to be wild and woolly for sure.
It is. That's why I was thankful to get to the park early today. I only encountered a pair of LSU fans as I made my way in. They threw out a GAUX Tigers, and I said, here's hoping that it's just great weather, and it is. It is fantastic. Might be the best weather that I've seen in Baton Rouge for baseball. Mm. But Brent, this is, of course, such a huge week, a momentous week. There aren't many that were on hand when the change was made from Mike Keith Sports Talk to Sports Talk with John and Jimmy, but you were right there front and center as you got to do a lot of work and a lot of good work, and you've maintained great partnerships throughout the years with Mike Keith, who you first worked with when you joined the station, and then, of course, Jimmy Hyams, who you worked with along with me until you went and hung out your own shingle as you took over VolQuest.
Yeah, it's been a blast. I actually did a 2-minute drill with Mike Keith today after Pro Day, which was a lot of fun. It was so it's been a nostalgia day, John, that Mike Keith and I did that, and then obviously I'm sitting here with you guys and sitting across from Jimmy on his final week and our final segment together. And Jimmy came along at the right time, right? 98, he came in, and Tennessee wins a national title, and this thing's easy, right? It's all easy and ready to go. And
Former wanted me to change jobs. He said, every time you change jobs, win a championship.
Yeah,
around here.
Things go well. But, I've had the unbelievable pleasure and fortune in my career to be around really good people. Mike obviously taught me a lot. John, you taught me a lot. You were very patient with me on Saturday mornings when I was trying to figure out what to do on the radio. And from the time I started covering practice when Jimmy was at the New Sentinel, I learned very quickly, just watch what he does. And I did that and tried to learn, and Jimmy was very kind to take a kid who didn't know a whole lot of what he was doing every afternoon on the practice field and let him hang around and be close to him and learn. And then we got to work together at the radio station, and he taught me a lot about journalism and about how to go about finding stories and about how to cover stories. And he's a Hall of Famer for a reason, and it's been a blast the last 23 years to do this show on this segment at this time slot. And like I said, it's been a great run for you guys together. I know you guys have enjoyed it. I know the people listening who have enjoyed it, and it's been a pleasure to be a part of. And I'm grateful for the time that I've spent with both you guys, but Jimmy, for you in particular, for you to take me under your wing when you did at an early age to learn and continue my growth. From where Mike started, it has been an absolute joy for me, and it's been very beneficial to me. So thank you.
When I was a guest with Mike, I always looked forward to your call so you could tell me which buddy's barbecue we were going to.
That's exactly right. Jimmy, we got to go here today. I better not call late, right? Because you got to get there on time. But it was just been a great run, and congratulations on a great run. It's not an easy transition to go from what you did in the daily grind at the newspaper to jumping into the world that you did in talk radio, and you handled it terrifically, and you've obviously done a terrific job in all that you've done. So congratulations, Hall of Famer.
Appreciate it, Brent. Thank you.
And, Brent, we, of course, spring practice going on, and also today was Pro Day. Why don't we start first with Pro Day? What did you think in terms of the Vols that were able to show their wares as well as the incredible representation? It really is something that it was 100%. Every franchise was on hand, and no secret and no surprise when you look at what Josh Heupel has done to develop players at Tennessee as well as bring in some awfully good talent that will make that transition soon to the NFL.
Yeah, this was the start of what is going to be a great recruiting month for Tennessee. And I don't mean a great recruiting month from necessarily a ton of commitments, I mean, or anything like that. But there's no better great sales pitch. There's no greater sales pitch than the NFL draft. And for Tennessee to be able to put on display today and then to have that translate to the NFL draft the last weekend in April – is a big win for two things, and I sort of wrote this a second ago. It's a big win for the current players because they get to see the development. They get to understand, hey, if you buy in and you do what you're told and you develop, look where you can be at if you have the talent to be there. And then on the flip side, when you go into a living room, you go into a school, you get on a Zoom call or you make a phone call, and you're talking to that offensive tackle or you're talking to somebody about coming to Tennessee, you can say, hey, look what we've done. Look what happened this year in the NFL draft. And so it's a great sales pitch for Josh Heupel. And I thought some guys had solid days today. I really did. I loved what Cedric Tillman did. I liked the way he looked physically. I thought he was fast. I thought he played fast, caught the ball well. I don't think he's doing anything at all to hurt his stock. I know some people wonder a little bit about that 40 time. But I think it's going to translate fine for him in the National Football League. Darnell Wright was, you know, extremely physical in all the drills he did today. And I thought the guy who could help himself the most today was Jerome Carvin, because I thought Carvin, you could have made a case for Jerome Carvin to be at the NFL Combine. Mm-hmm. I understand why he wasn't, Jimmy, when you look at the depth of the offensive linemen that are out there. But you could make the case that he was deserving of being at the NFL Combine with what he had done in his career. He wasn't, so this was his first chance to really sell himself in front of some people and to show the ability to play center, to play right guard, left guard, to play with some physicality today. He was very pleased with what he got done today, and I think he should have been, because I think there's a lot of NFL people that are very curious about Jerome Carvin because he can play multiple positions. I don't know where people are going to put him, Jimmy, but he didn't do anything to hurt himself today. In fact, he only helped himself, in my opinion, with those curiosities with the NFL. He's going to get a lot more phone calls as a result of today.
Brenda, John and I touched on this earlier. There are seven players from Tennessee that could be drafted. Mm-hmm. How many of those do you think would be drafted if it weren't for Josh Heupel and his staff developing them, like a Cedric Tillman or maybe a Hendon Hooker? Maybe Jalen Hyde, I don't know. How many do you think would have been drafted without their assistance?
Well, Jimmy, I mean, it's, you know, you never know how somebody – you know, develops on their own, right? Mm-hmm. You never know where Darnell Wright's going to be 2 years without Glenn Ellerbe. We know what Darnell Wright says Glenn Ellerbe means to him, mm-hmm. and how much football he's learned under Glenn Ellerbe. But listen, Darnell Wright's 6'5", 300 pounds, and can move. I mean, he's got all the skill set that's going to intrigue people. I mean, Cedric Tillman only got on the field for run plays before Josh Heupel got here. I mean, what kind of draft stock would he have had, Jimmy? I don't know. That'll be interesting to see what that looks like. I think it's a hard question to answer. But what I can tell you is there are five guys out of the seven. Five of those guys I think are going to go in the top three rounds of the NFL draft. And I don't think those five guys would have gone in the top three rounds of the NFL draft prior to Josh Heupel's arrival. Might have been drafted, but I don't think they'd have been drafted that high.
Let me switch gears quickly because I just saw this. Olivier Komwa has entered the transfer portal. Averaged 10.8 points, 6 rebounds for Tennessee. Does that surprise you?
I think yes, but here's what I want. I just got the same. I got a text from somebody else, but I just got the news too. I was talking to you. I wonder if he is not doing that, Jimmy, with the idea of seeing what all of his options are, right? Because you're in the portal. It doesn't mean you're gone. You can come back. You could go to another school. You can still go overseas and play. Mm-hmm. So do you want to have two options or do you want to have three options? Going in the portal gives him his third option. Maybe that's the way he's looking at it. I would not have expected that to be the case. I would have thought he was either coming back here or he was going to go play pro ball somewhere. I still think he may end up overseas, you know, Pro Bowl. But maybe he's out there seeing what NIL options are out there for him. If there are other schools that are interested, that maybe there's some more NIL money for him at another place, and how does that compare to what the potential money might be for him overseas? That we'll see. But, no, to answer your question, I'm a little bit surprised. I just wonder if he's just decided and his family just decided, let's put every option on the table for us, because what's the punishment?
None.
I mean, I guess Rick Barnes could say you went in the portal, you're not allowed to come back, right?
Yeah, he could do that.
I mean, I think he could, you know, could do that, but I don't know that he was planning on coming back anyway. So now, does instead of just saying I'm absolutely going to play pro ball, let me see what else is out there for me if I want to stay in the States and play another year of college ball if it's not at Tennessee. Maybe that's his thought process.
Well, I wonder if he is not going to go pro and he does play another year of college, does this suggest he's going to play another year of college somewhere else besides Tennessee?
Yes, I think absolutely. You know, I mean, I think he's exploring his option to see if there's a better place for him than Tennessee if he decides to play college basketball again.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that he wanted to give himself, quote, that third option. And that's why he's gone and done what he's done. We'll see if he lands anywhere else. You know, he's a guy with a lot of ability, a lot of upside, just marred with inconsistency. I mean, twice this year he looked like an NBA player, but then a lot of other times he didn't look like he looked like he'd have a hard time playing overseas at times too because he was just ineffective. So we'll see.
Our guest, Brent Hubbs of AllQuest.com. If you have a question or comment for Brent, you can dial 865-656-9900. That's 865-656-9900. Use that same number to text the program as well. Again, the show today is at Fieldhouse Social, University Commons. More with Brent Hubbs coming up as you listen to Sports Talk on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
Throughout my 35-year career, I have worked with some of the very best media personalities on both the national and international softball stages. Jimmy is at the top of that list. Jimmy, thank you for embracing Lady Vols softball and covering us with class and integrity.
Congratulations on a brilliant and legendary career, Jimmy. We appreciate everything you've done for us since we arrived in Knoxville. Enjoy your retirement. We will definitely miss you.
Offering their very best to Jimmy Hyams. I'm John Wilkerson. The show today is at Fieldhouse Social. Our guest, Brent Hubbs of AllQuest.com. And why don't we go to the phones and check in with, let's see, I believe it is Chris who's up next. Steve, I'm sorry. Hi, Steve. How are you?
I'm okay. I know Jimmy's enjoying this day better than everybody else is. Everybody else is going to miss you, and you're not going to miss not being at work anymore.
I'm not sure about that, but I am going to enjoy this day. Yes.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Steve.
We'll see what that honeydew list grows into, right?
I'm going to just stay here.
Hey, Brent.
Yes, sir.
Brent, people in practice, because I know some of them, but who do you, no matter what class they're in football practice right now, who do you or some people that really stand out that you're excited about, and not necessarily just because of the season, but on down the road? who are people to you that really are exciting prospects?
I think Arian Carter's got a tremendous upside, tremendous potential. I think Caleb Herring at 227 pounds or 224 pounds, whatever he is right now, has got a tremendous upside moving forward. Both those guys have practiced five times. So, you know, you got a long ways to go there. Nobody's building any statues or giving gold jackets out or anything like that. But I think those two guys have a big, you know, big upside. I'm curious about Elijah Simmons. Elijah Simmons looks different. I'm told he's had a pretty good start to spring ball. You know, can he develop any kind of consistency, something we haven't seen out of him to this point? I don't know. I don't know that I'm excited about him yet, Steve. I think I'm curious, maybe for the first time, about him. So we'll see. I think Dominic Bailey is a guy who's going to play on the defensive line. He played some last year. I think he's going to play more. I don't know that he's never going to be an all-conference player, but I do think he's a guy who can give you some quality snaps. You know, those are some defensive guys that jump out. I just love Ramel Keaton because everybody's, you know, discounted him or they've recruited over him or all this, but yet there he stands. He just keeps making plays. And Ramel Keaton's a good football player. I don't think he's ever going to play on Sundays, but I like the way he's grown and developed. I like guys who, you know, just kind of put their head down and go to work. And he's one of the last ones to leave the practice field every day. Last guy to catch extra passes off the jugs machine. It paid off for him last year, and I think it'll pay off for him this year. I do. I think he's going to factor in and be a part of things at that receiver rotation. Even though it's a smaller rotation, I think you're going to see him play quite a bit. So those are a handful of guys, Steve, that, you know, we'll get a better gauge out of things, I think, from this team. Coming out of Saturday in the first major scrimmage, kind of where they are. I think Joe Milton's had a good start and is carrying himself really well right now. I think there's a lot to be excited about. The biggest excitement is there's depth. You got bodies that you haven't had before. And I think that's probably the most exciting thing about spring practice right now when you watch them and you go out there. They're competitive at all the positions, and there were some spring practices the last couple of years where that simply was not the case.
Right. Right. Well, my envy you guys to get to go to see a little bit of practice, or I envy you big time. But anyway, well, okay, guys, I will check in with y'all next week. And, Jimmy, since I'm not going to try to call tomorrow, and I'm going to predict it's going to be the busiest Friday y'all had getting phone calls. I just, the thing about it is you darn sure will be missed in a positive, you know, for what you did, it was positive. And I very rarely knew of anything that I heard you talk about that you wasn't really, really sharp about what you said, very accurate, because you were. And that's about it. But
thank you, Steve.
Guys, behave.
All right, Steve.
I don't know about behaving, but I appreciate it.
Why now's start
the
now?
Now's the time not to behave.
Yeah, that's right. What are they going to do?
Jimmy Himes going to put on his dancing shoes, John Wilkerson.
Yeah. Hey.
Without question.
By the way, for those folks that might want to come by, they've got shrimp and a crawfish boil going on. So that's here if you want to come by and take advantage of that.
Is that your recipe?
Yeah. Yes, it is. They asked me what I wanted, and I said I want a shrimp.
I didn't ask you if you decided the menu. Did you bring them your recipe?
Oh, my recipe. No, okay. I thought they could handle it.
Oh, you thought they got it. Yeah, it's pretty good. They're pretty good here.
Yes, they are. I do want to ask you about a quarterback that is committed to Tennessee. He's from Savannah, Georgia, Jake Merklinger. What can you tell us about him?
A guy who really ultimately picked Tennessee over North Carolina. There were some other schools in the hunt. Mom's actually a Georgia graduate. He visited Georgia, but ended up Tennessee, North Carolina, I think, were ultimately the final two. Was at Tennessee this past weekend. Was at the baseball game. He's a three-sport athlete. I think he's very comfortable with Tennessee. Here's the thing. One of his sports is lacrosse. He's a really good lacrosse player in the state of Georgia. So that tells you what kind of athlete he is. And that's the first thing everybody asks anymore at a quarterback position. What kind of athlete is he? Jimmy, if you play lacrosse, you're a pretty good athlete. And you know, he's a guy who loves to compete. You talk to his dad, you talk to Jake, and how competitive he is seems to come out, and he's not bothered by the competition. You know, everybody says, well, you know, Nico this and Nico, and, you know, he's not bothered by it. He thinks he can line up and compete against anybody. I think his best football is in front of him as he continues to grow and develop and get a little better and get a little bigger, and I think it's a good athlete. I think for Tennessee, that is a really good get in a year where you probably think it's going to be a hard year to get a quarterback, right? You got Joe, who's going to be a senior, but then you've got the guy everybody's talked about for over a year now, and Nico, poised to take the helm. And so, you know, how many people want to come sit behind him and that type of thing? And he feels very comfortable competing there. And so I think for the 24 class to get a quarterback of this ilk this early, I think is a really nice get for Tennessee.
I read an evaluation that said average arm, but a good touch, very accurate, mobile. Would you agree with that assessment of?
Yeah, I mean, I think he has got to get bigger and has to get stronger, Jimmy. Which I think that, you know, that he will. I think his release is good. That's why he's accurate with the football. I think he will get naturally stronger. You know, I think arm strength is a fascinating thing because we're all mesmerized by Joe, right, and how strong the arm is. But we've also seen guys who didn't have great arms who are very good quarterbacks. So it's about accuracy. It's about seeing. It's about timing, throwing guys open, all those types of things. And do they have the it factor, you know, from a competitive standpoint? I can't say he's absolutely got the it factor because I've not spent enough time with him, but everybody you talk to says how competitive he is. I know this. Nobody's ever had the X factor, the it factor, who wasn't competitive. You have to have that fire in you to have that factor. So, again, I think given where you were, what was going to be in front of you, you weren't going to be in the race for the number one quarterback in the country this year. So to be in this race and to get a guy of this caliber, I think is a really good gift for Tennessee. And nice to get that one early. And we'll see where he goes in terms of helping put this class together.
Our guest, Brent Hubbs of VolQuest.com. His appearance brought to you by Diversified Enclosures and Screen. We'll get a break. More sports talk, more with Brent Hubbs, and more from Fieldhouse Social as you listen to 99.1 The Sports Animal.
Hey, Jimmy. Dane Bradshaw, congratulations on such an awesome career, and I am honored to say that I was able to sit beside you every once in a while there on The Sports Animal. It's been great to get to know you, appreciate your friendship. Certainly respect your entire body of work and your career and your ability to have some thick skin, because you could get some hate mail at times, including one from my future and father-in-law, as you were critical of my play during my early years under Buzz Peterson. So I'll let bygones be bygones, though, and hopefully he's gotten over it as well. Love you, man. Have a great one.
Sports Talk continues with Jimmy Himes. I'm John Wilkerson. Our guest, Brent Hubbs of AllQuest.com. And we invite you to join us, 865-656-9900. Let's go back to the phones where Chris is with us. You're on Sports Talk. Hello, Chris.
Hey, gentlemen, how are you doing?
Fine. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. First of all, Jimmy, I want to tell you how much I appreciate all the work and reporting you've done through 25 years. I appreciate Brent's comment about your journalism, because that was something that has always stuck with me, was how good you are at using sources and using the ability of a journalist in doing your job there. So thank you for doing that.
Thank you, Chris.
Now, a question is, excuse me, NIL. Is anyone ever going to take control of that? Because I think of this, Jordan Addison from Pittsburgh, and I think Hartman was at North Carolina State, who are stars with their current teams, and then they go off to another team, and that's bothersome to me. Is there any way that anybody can get any kind of control over that?
Brent, what do you think?
Well, Congress is trying, and you know, the NCAA doesn't have a lot of teeth. Congress, I don't think, has a plan. Some of the comments that have come out to me are perplexing that they've made, such as NIL's bad because it's going to really hinder the budgets of colleges everywhere and the money at colleges. I mean, when you're getting $75 million for your TV contract, I'm not sure anybody's budget's going to dwindle because of NIL. I think one of the concerns that people in favor of NIL have is there's some of the congressional talk has been about capping it and limiting how much money you can make, which kind of goes against the whole concept of NIL. But to answer your question, who's going to be the one to put the policy in to change it? It has to be done at a national level, Jimmy, or you're going to get people at an unfair advantage. If it's state-by-state level, you know, and that's where it's at, so this state can do it one way and this state can do it the other, then everybody's going to scream foul, right? So how do you get a blanket policy in place that everybody's going to agree on? You're not. And who is going to create that policy, and then who is going to adhere to that policy and make sure that that policy is policed and adhered to? I think those are the questions that you have with NIL right now, for me, where I'm at.
One of the things about trying to cap it, and I remember this from years ago, they tried to cap, I guess it was the third basketball assistant at $40,000 or whatever it was, and then they came back and said, that's restricted earning, you can't do that. So they went to court, lost it, and these people had to pay millions of dollars for these coaches that they had tried to cap their salary. It's hard to cap salaries. So I don't know that it can be, quote, fixed. And I do see some benefits to it. I see some things that I'm not crazy about with it. But I don't know a great solution, and I don't think they're going to come up. Congress or anybody else is going to come up with something that everybody's going to agree to. Brent, we can't even agree. Well, there's a lot of crazy politics out there right now. But it's hard to get a whole bunch of people to agree on the same thing. And I just don't see a good resolution to this.
I don't either. And again, I mean, the NCAA did not have a policy or a plan in place. Their idea was we're going to throw it to Congress's hands and Congress is going to take care of us and vote it down, and it didn't happen. And now here's where we are, and nobody's had a plan in place since the thoughts of creating it. Nobody's had a plan in place. And what is it going to turn into? Will it naturally kind of police itself in terms of the amount of money being spent? There's some thought that will be the case. What does that look like? How does that separate schools from other schools if you don't have some kind of policing and policy in there? Hey, good luck with that. Here's the question. I mean, if the NCAA wanted to come down on a collective, does the collective even have to cooperate? They're not under the NCAA's umbrella. I mean, they could just not return their phone call. And to me, there's no way the NCAA can investigate or punish anybody in that regard. Maybe they can tell a school you have to disassociate with somebody. Maybe. But at this point in time, I don't see who's got the teeth in this thing, and I don't know that Congress has got enough of a handle on it to create a policy for it either.
Yeah.
We sure do appreciate it, Chris. Let's go next to Will. You're on Sports Talk. Hello, Will.
Hey, it's actually Bill, Jimmy, and John.
Oh, hey.
Hey, I didn't want to call tomorrow, so I wanted to say thank you to Jimmy and I moved to Knoxville 16 years ago as an Auburn alum, and the entire time I've lived here, I've listened to you guys on the radio, and I want to give Jimmy all the credit for making me a Tennessee Volunteers fan. I still love my alma mater, but UT's in my heart, and I bleed orange, and Jimmy, I have you to thank for that.
Well, I appreciate that. We've just tried to provide the facts as we saw them, not always right. But that's what we tried to do. But I'm glad that you've enjoyed living in Knoxville.
I have. I have a question for all three of you. I was eating lunch or dinner, actually, earlier this week, and I ran into a guy at a buffet. And I'm like, that guy looks like he ought to be in the NFL. And he was quiet and unassuming. He was sitting right next to me at the table, next to me. And finally, I spoke to him and said, did you play some ball back in the day? He says, well, I play ball right now. I said, where do you play? He said, University of Tennessee. And I said, you look like a D lineman to me. And he said, I play defensive tackle. I asked him his name. He said, Dejon Terry. Now, he was pretty confident he's going to be on the field this fall. I won't go into any more detail than that, but we were talking about defensive tackles. Yeah, we were talking about defensive tackles last week. and I didn't hear much comment on him. But boy, he was an impressive young man. Just one look at him, but the way he carried himself, even more impressive. So I'd like y'all's take on Dejon Terry, if you would, please.
Sure, yeah. I thought there were moments last year where it all kind of came together and clicked for him, and he was a really effective player. Some other moments where it didn't, and I think that's to be expected in year one, but there's no question he should make a leap from year one to year two in Rodney Garner's system and in his style. And I think you're going to see Dejon Terry a lot. Rodney Garner's in a great situation this year, in my opinion, if they can stay healthy. He's got, Jimmy, 12 to 14 guys I think he can play across the board. Now, some of those young edge guys have to really develop and come on, but from the interior inside standpoint, he's not got, you know, three NFL number one picks up there like George has been playing with, or three top 10 or first round picks, but he's got some talent up there to work with, and he's got a lot of bodies that he can rotate with, and Dejon Terry's going to play 20 to 30 snaps a game, and that's where Rodney Garner wants those defensive tackles to be. He wants to knock down Omari Thomas' snap count a little bit and, you know, get Dejon Terry in the 20 to 30 range and be effective there. Bryson Eason and maybe Elijah Simmons and, you know, Tyler Barron inside on pass rush situations, and we'll see who else develops and moves forward and dives into that. They've got the transfer, you know, Norman Lott from Arizona State. We'll see what he looks like. There's just a lot of different pieces there to work with, and I think that gives Rodney a lot of options.
It does, and Terry ended up being a starter.
Mm-hmm. Good
for
player.
Tennessee. Yeah, he's solid. He's a solid player.
We sure do appreciate the call. We'll get a break and be back with a final segment of this hour of Sports Talk. One more segment for us with Brent Hubbs of AllQuest.com as you listen to 99.1 The Sports Animal.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com. Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Hi, Jimmy, this is Bob Kessling. I wish you nothing but the best as you enter retirement, and congratulations on your stellar career in the media. I have always respected your work and your work ethic. You have always been one of the hardest working people in the media, and your zest to find a story and then your ability to tell that story is a remarkable talent. You were always thorough and precise in your reporting. Your goal was to get the story full and complete, but most importantly, accurate. You kept digging until you got to the bottom of every story you covered, and that's a remarkable trait. So, enjoy your retirement, but I would guess you will still have that itch to track down a good story and report on it every once in a while. Finally, best of luck in your quest now to become a professional pickleball player. You will now have plenty of time to pursue that goal. Thanks, Jimmy, for a great run. Can't wait to see and hear what you do next.
Looks like a lot of people are using a pen, not a pencil, to put Jimmy on the pickleball courts time and time again after his full-time gig comes to a close tomorrow. How about that?
I realize a lot of people don't know me listening to that. And by the way, I got on this Dane Bradshaw deal. So it is true that when he played at Tennessee, I did make the comment that I did not think he was an SEC point guard. That riled up somebody that challenged me on it, and then afterward he saw me. He says, "Well," he said, "I'm Dane Bradshaw's father-in-law." Oh, okay. But now, Dane Bradshaw, I always complimented him on being a point forward. He was a really good point forward.
That he was.
Yes.
Sure was. Let's go next to Mike. You're on Sports Talk. Hello, Mike.
Good afternoon, guys. Again, Jimmy, congratulations, and I wish you all the best. And John, two words, go Vols, G-E-A-U-X. Brent, hello.
Hello, sir.
The subject would be NIL, and I'm not asking about legal aspects, but of your opinions, let's say Jimmy Himes, senior high school tennis player, All-American, signs with Tennessee and comes to Tennessee, gets an NIL contract of some sort. And he decides after two seasons that the University of Rhode Island, or wherever you want to pick, is the next eminent national champion, and he wants to transfer. How does that – he's got a contract, an NIL contract. How does that transfer? Does it end when he declares that I'm in the loop for transfer, or does it stay in place? Does it truncate on the day he declares? How does all of that work?
Well,
Let's hear what your insights are.
Sure. The first thing you got to remember is the contract's not with a university. It's with a third-party collective, okay, which is somebody who is not directly affiliated and not a direct part of the university. So he's not a university employee. There's nothing written that's binding with the university. What's binding is with his contract with the collective. Within that collective, there are parameters they have to meet in order for that contract to remain whole, if you will, and not become null and void. So if Jimmy Himes Sr., part of his NIL deal is he's got to make 8 appearances, okay, representing himself, and 8 appearances within the state or within whatever area of where, the school that he plays in, so to speak. So he's got to make 8 appearances within the city that he's that at the current school he's at. If Jimmy Himes Sr. goes to Rhode Island, is he going to fly to Knoxville or wherever the other school was to make all those appearances? Or no, if that's not the case, then that contract can become null and void because he's not honoring his end of the contract, and the collective is willing to walk away, and he goes gets another deal from another collective, similar to what the kid did at Texas who left Ohio State, went to Texas, right? Some of those things you could execute, some of those things you couldn't execute, so the deal changes. So that would be the very crude answer to the scenario that you painted out there. Now, every contract's a little bit different. There's some things that are different in terms of the degree that a collective is representing. Are they representing them as a collective? Are they representing them as a marketing agent? There's different contracts. There's no cookie cutter contract being written with any of these deals out there. But in a nutshell, that would be one of the issues in terms of honoring that contract.
And to what you're saying, the contract could say you get paid for these appearances as long as you play for the University of whatever, Texas. And
right.
If you leave Texas, then it's null and void.
Right. But that's,
so you can write that in the contract.
Right. And that is not considered pay for play because you're not getting more if you are a more productive player. Mm-hmm. It's just to do this deal, you have to be a member at this school, or you have to be a member of the team at this school.
Yeah.
Again, lots of these things are written a lot of different ways.
Yep. We sure do appreciate it, Mike. Thank you very much. And Brent, there's a ton going on, but what will folks find at VolQuest.com right now?
Well, Jimmy picked one of the busiest days of the year to end this thing on. I know now tomorrow will be a little slower, but we've got full coverage of Tennessee's practice this morning, full coverage of Tennessee's new quarterback commit, full coverage from Tennessee's pro day. We got coverage from baseball tonight. Olivier Cumwa is in the portal. We got more on that as well. We'll have the War Room tomorrow. Our mailbag podcast is up today. We got more recruiting coming up tomorrow, and then obviously this weekend. Tennessee will have a good number of prospects in this weekend as well, as it's an important recruiting weekend, as well as a football scrimmage, as well as a baseball series against the very hot, very good LSU Tigers. So lots going on right now.
Brent, we sure do appreciate it. Thank you very much, and we'll have you join us on Sports Talk next week.
Sounds good.
All right. Thank you very much. That's Brent Hubbs of BallQuest.com joining us today at Fieldhouse Social. And we do want to say again, a big thank you to Brent's sponsor, Diversified Enclosures and Screen. What we'll do is get a break and be back with hour number four of Sports Talk. And we look forward to hearing more about Tennessee's Pro Day as Vince Ferraro will join us in segment number two. But up next, it's your chance to win. It's the Sports Fix at 6. So stay with us as you listen to 99.1 The Sports Animal.
Former Navy SEAL Sean Ryan shares real stories from real people from all walks of life on The Sean Ryan Show. Comedian John Crist.
How long have you been in Nashville? Let's see, 2018 is when I moved here. I lived in an apartment. I didn't know anything about it. I lived in L.A.
You were living in L.A.? How was that?
Yeah. Well, let's see, good for my career. Send me to rehab, though, so. I mean, that's pretty much the sum of it.
The Sean Ryan Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.